So I hope they remembered. I could have sent out an email, but a lot of them don't have email. So, but we'll get started. It's 10 o'clock, and we have a lot of fun planned. So I just welcome you all here, and I'm glad for those that are participating. And I just hope that it's a joy for each and every one of us, not only the little ones, but us big ones. So with that being said, do we have any announcements? Jerry, do you have a pencil? Thank you. Do we have any announcements? Okay, I see none.
Well, just a reminder, Tuesday night.
Just a reminder, we have Bible. That's who's missing, Nancy and Ron.
Yeah,
oh, okay. Bible studies at 7 on Tuesday. We're exploring the mysteries of Genesis. So, and it's really interesting, you know.
I think we have dinosaurs this week, right?
Dinosaurs, I think, this week, yes. But it's a little bit to do with telling about the creation versus evolution, and it has some heavy stuff in there when scientists, like, who was it? Oh, Karen, I think, said, if they just wouldn't use them big, long words. I said, well, you know, that's scientists for you. But anyway, it's really interesting. Quick note that I have down here that the parents and the children may go back with the teachers, and that's during now, and they'll be back out when the program starts. I guess that's all I have for now. All right, let's quiet our hearts and minds and meditate while Jerry plays a prelude. Okay. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 77, verses 1 and 2. For those who can, please follow along, for where I err, you can correct. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave me ear to hear. He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We just ask that for your presence now, that you would come into the midst of your children. Father, we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. We thank you for being a comforter. We thank you for being a healer. There's so many things that we need to take time and give you honor, glory, and praise. We thank you most of all for your Son Jesus, who gave the ultimate sacrifice, his life, so that we may have eternal life. Father, now we just ask that you bless each one here, that their hearts would be filled. Father, we thank you, and we ask all these favors and blessings in precious Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we can all participate together in hymn number 22. Hymn number 22. Okay, now we will share joys and concerns. I start off with a joy. It's a joy that we have the Gudgeons here. And I think the Lord's going to work mightily through them with their program. And let's hope that it turns on our little ones to Jesus. Who else has joys and concerns? Frank?
We're glad to have Brother Sam here.
Yes, indeed.
As always, we lift our pleasure. We ask our prayers for Doris, cousin Doris, and Pat's still having some issues with her legs, so keep her in our prayers as well. Cousin Ralph, Brother Bob, and everyone else.
Danny, yes. Danny. Who else? Danny. Karen?
Traveling mercies for the boys today on Delaware with my other grandmother.
All right. Bob?
I'm grateful. Excuse me. These colds are terrible to put up with this time of year. Mm. But for our family and the love and the joy that we have in the group and the church family and our local personal family, I want to thank God for that privilege. And also thank God for his protection over our son Larry, who is coming along pretty doggone good after his reconnection there, and he goes back down tomorrow for a checkup. So may he continue to touch his body.
Danny?
Yeah, I got one more. I'm sorry. My sister down in Virginia is a testifier with the
Any others?
I'd like to keep Velma, Wanda, and Priscilla, along with the rest of my list.
You know, we go through this every Sunday, prayer request, and I hope we know how important prayer is. It truly is a blessing, and it only takes a few moments to lift up someone in prayer. I asked Ralph this the other morning, I said, have you been praying for me? And he said, well, I pray for you every day. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, remember I couldn't hold the pen to write? And I couldn't make a fist in this hand because of the one finger. I said, look, no pain. And I picked up a pen. And what made me notice, I picked up a pen to write some cards. And I was writing the way I'm supposed to write. And so I said, are you praying for that? He said, no, I pray for everything, but I didn't pray for that specifically. So if one of you out there that's praying for my hands, keep on praying. It's working. He's healing. So there is power in prayer. And don't ever forget to use it with all the turmoil that's going on in this country right now. He hears. He hears. And if we speak to him asking for help, he will help. So now with that being said, however you feel most comfortable praying, if you want to kneel, if you want to sit with your heads bowed, let's come before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Again, we can't get done thanking you enough for being in our lives, for being our Lord, and for just taking care of us, for making the plan of salvation so that we can have eternal glory with you, Father. Father, we just thank you now for those that are present. We ask that you give a special blessing here today. We ask that you bless the Gudgeons and their ministry, that they will reach many for you, Father. There are so many out there that do not know your word. They do not know your love. They do not know Jesus and all that he has done. Father, so there is much work to do, and we just ask that you bless them for their labors of love. Father, we just thank you for Brother Sam. He and Miss Jackie are such a blessing to us, and we are just so grateful that you put him in our path. Amen. Father, we just ask for continued healing. I won't do each specific issue, but I'll just speak names, Father, for you know all. Father, we just ask that you keep your healing hand upon Doris, upon Bob, Ralph, Danny, Kathy, Danny's niece, Danny's sister, Danny's neighbors, traveling mercies. We thank you for a family, Father. We thank you for the church family. Father, it's just a blessing to have so many that we can unite together in like faith and learn from each other and keep each other lifted up. Father, we think of Larry. We see your handiwork upon him. We thank you for that. We think of Velma and Wanda and Priscilla and Jerry's list and my list and our country, Father. Oh, Father, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. I just put it in your hands, Father, that you would work mightily, just as in the days of old. Father, you just keep your loving arms around those that are near and precious to you. Keep us safe. Keep us unaccosted from the evils of the world. Father, we pray now for our children. Father, we just ask that one day this church would be filled up again with your children, young and old alike. Father, I know nothing's too great for you, so I will leave that in your hands. Father, I just thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. And Father, help us to be like Micah 6:8, to love justice, be great, be humble, and walk with you humbly, Father. Father, now we want to unite our voices in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors. We forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, our scripture reading is Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. And our sermon title is What Children Can Teach Us. This should be interesting. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Amen. Now let's give our undivided attention to Brother Sam.
Thanks, Debbie. When I found out what was going on today, I kept telling Debbie, are you sure you want me up here? You folks came in here. You see all of this? This is what you want. Kind of reminds me like been working out in the garden, hot and sweaty. Come in, you get a shower, turn on the TV for your favorite program. And what's on there? Mr. Pillow's selling slippers. So here I am selling more than slippers. So I trust our hearts will be encouraged. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks today. Thank you for children. The Bible even talks about children being the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. They're an opportunity to train and to walk in the light of your word. We pray you'll bless as we spend time in your word. In Christ's name, amen. What children can teach us. What we do in our churches, we tell the children to grow up. You really want children to grow up and act like adults? Are you sure that's what you really want? What the Bible says, we have to be like children. Yes. Instead of children being like adults. 3 points. Number one, invitation to salvation. The scripture we just read, Matthew 19, 13. Then were brought to him little children that he should put his hand on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Do what? Turn children away? They're too young. Let me tell you something. Kids know a whole lot more than we think they know. They watch us a whole lot more. I know, because I was a child one time, and I knew a whole lot more about what was going on in the church they thought I knew. But in those days, folks, we had to zip the lip. Today they talk, but then they didn't. But I'm still thinking, I know what that guy's doing. I know what the preacher's doing. Thank the Lord I was in a church that had good leaders. So I wasn't confused. Can you imagine today kids trying to walk with the Lord, watching what adults do? So they rebuked him. What did Jesus say to them when they rebuked? He said, permit the little children and forbid them not to come unto me. I'm going to come back to that in just a little bit. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Come unto me. The invitation today is for folks to come to Jesus. You want to be saved? You don't just come to church. You come to Jesus. He invites us to accept his sacrifice on Calvary's cross. He invites us to be part of the family of God. If you're from around this area, you know of a thing called Color Fest in Thurmont, where we invite some neighbors to come in. About 100,000. We invite them to come bring your money, and we have a great time in Thurmont. Our daughter and son-in-law have gotten used to this. They come Wednesday evening because my son-in-law is a yard sale hawk. He's in construction, so he actually does have a list of things. One time, a roll of copper wire. Can you imagine that? for $20. So they're out there looking for things. Now, our middle granddaughter, Becca, has got the bug. And so last year, Becca came on Thursday. But her husband, Phil, makes furniture, and he had a trip out to Ohio. So she came down with the three, and Phil took the load of furniture out. Must have slept a few hours and drove in Ohio through the night with his trailer, and it's good traveling. So when I got up in the morning, there was out there. And when the little kids got up, Eliza's name would have been, four, I think, that time last year, and Reuben, two. And I said, Eliza Jane, Reuben, your daddy's out there. And he'd gotten out of the truck. He went down on the sidewalk saying, come. And there's nothing more exciting than a four-year-old and a two-year-old running full speed into daddy's arms. Yeah. The only thing that matches that is the arms of Jesus. Amen. He invites us. And what do? Think about it. I even got my daughter to come out and say, watch this. This is going to be exciting. They almost knocked him down. They were going so hard. But the Lord invites us to salvation. What is so difficult about getting your sins washed away? So like children, we accept the invitation, come unto me. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the years of witnessing it, witnessing someone, and they're just saying, well, I'll think about it. Think about what? Think about eternity without Jesus? I don't think so. Come to the Lord. It should be fairly easy to get saved. We're sinners. Sin carries a death penalty. Christ paid for that. We come to Jesus. He invites us to come to him. I grew up in church. I was age 10. Our church was having a revival service in Frederick. I can still remember where I was standing in the barnyard when my dad said to me, 10-year-old, Samuel, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. I didn't see any lightning, but it was like my heart was stricken because I knew he was right. I needed Jesus. I was in church all those years. I knew the facts, but I didn't know the person. Do you know what I mean? You know about Jesus or do you know Jesus? So that evening we had revival service. It was a windy evening. It was Good Friday, 1949, April 15, 1949. So this year, April 15 on Good Friday was a big anniversary for me. I remember that day. It was windy. The reason why I mention that, someone forgot to close the door in the vestibule. And while the minister was preaching about getting saved, a gust of wind came, and that door went bang, scared me half to death. I thought I was dead. When it came time for the invitation to go forward, I was up front. I didn't have to. They didn't have to beg, would you please come? I don't know if I ran, but I got down that aisle. And as I tell people, I am so glad the minister did not make it complicated. He just asked me some questions. From the sinner? Yeah. You know what the penalty is in? Yes. You want to see Jesus? Yes. You want to pray now? Yes. Today, we have all these theological questions about whether you can get saved or not. I'm so glad I got saved before it got complicated. It's still easy. Come to Jesus. So that's the invitation, even for adults. In our church in Maryland, when we had the bigger congregation there, we would reach families with their children first. Go by, visit, kids would come. Sometimes when my daughter was maybe 4 or 5 years old, little Blondie, I'd take her along with me. There was one home, I could never get in the home. They had kids. All right. I took my daughter along a little time, little four-year-old, and she and the kids in the house of the house were out playing. And I'm just stalling. She invited my daughter to go in the house and play with the kids. And to be polite, she invited me in. So that's how we did it. But my daughter helped that family come to Jesus. So that's our invitation to come to the Lord. That's why we have it here. If you've never come to Jesus, today would be a good day to ask him to be your Savior. Receive him. change your life, give you a purpose for living, a home in heaven when you die. Come unto me. Second point I want to make, intensity in God's word. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Do we have an intensity for the word of God like a newborn? Last year, great grandchildren, one was born in March, one in April, and one in May. So now we've all had that first anniversary. Becca's came on the 31st of May at 4 p.m. I said, Becca, you were pushing the limit on that May baby. But they're all now 1 year old. But when last year at this time, when we had celebrations, we had four nursing granddaughters. And when the baby begins to fuss, you give them a toy. What happened? Still fussing. Take them for a walk. They're still fussing. You turn on cartoons. They're still fussing. Why? They desire the milk that feeds their body. Nothing else satisfies. So we should desire God's word like a newborn desires milk. I would say read your Bible every day. My wife and I read our Bibles through. And what I do, I read it through with a different translation every year. Plus, it's the same Bible. But the last 2 years, 2020, 21, 22, with what's going on in America, it is very interesting to read the Bible and what's going on. Last year, just so you understand, we're reading through the book of Job, and we caught COVID. Went to the hospital. In my mental slowness, I pulled the car in too fast and hit the front of the garage, knocked all stuff up, damaged my car. We had so much trouble. I said, I can't wait to get to the book of Psalms. We got to get out of Job. But then I realized the problems Job had. I guess if you have boils over your whole body, I guess you're under it. Or you can, isn't too much of a problem. So it kind of encouraged us to read the Bible. And even today, I was like, oh, yeah. And one of the verses we read this morning was, children are inheritors of the Lord. Just before I came, I read that. So we desire the word of God. Also, in our churches, we desire the preaching of the word of God. I was in a church where my wife's relative passed away, 53 years old. The parents were in our wedding, so we felt we had to go down to Madison, Virginia, below Culpeper. And I didn't know much about the church. But the eulogies in the funeral service, it was as close as to a revival service I've ever gotten. And I found later on, I'm just telling you, this church was in a denomination and got out because they wanted the word of God. And they're hungry for the word. You can tell that by the testimonies they gave. So our churches shouldn't be preaching the word of God. I don't know about you, but every time I go to a restaurant, I intend to eat. There's no restaurant that I've ever gone to. Oh, the chandeliers were just so beautiful. Maybe they were. The decorations in the hallway was so... You see all those pictures they had? We go to a restaurant to eat, right? There was a restaurant in Frederick. I won't even tell which direction, so you won't be able to tell which one it is. But the original owner, my cousin, passed away. It was called a family restaurant. It was sold to a business. And they rode on their reputation for a while. But in Frederick County, how long can you ride on your reputation if you don't have good food? The last time we were there in a restaurant, I told my wife on the way to the parking lot, I hate to say it, I'm never coming back. Well, it's no longer a restaurant. Why? They didn't feed the people. They didn't have that roast beef they used to have. The crab cakes weren't the same size or the same wall. And so we are here to teach the word of God. We have a desire to be in the word and to follow God's leading. My third and final point, but not my final comment. Instruction in God's ways. invitation to salvation, instruction in God's ways. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he will go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I had the advantage, as I tried to evaluate my upbringing in church, it seemed to me that my mother was one who read Bible stories, and my dad was one who explained Bible stories. Now, obviously, farmers, we had the advantage because we're together. I know one of our elders, he said his father went, he saw him go to work in the morning, come home in the evening. But back in my day, you could have a pretty good conversation milking cows by hand. Thankfully, he only had seven by then. So dad milked faster, so he could afford, I'd do three maybe. So there were times that we just talk about the Bible. Thankfully, what the church taught, what my mother and dad taught, was together. And school never contradicted. I'm not saying that they are, you know, I went to public school, but I never had a teacher contradict the Bible. So I had that privilege of growing up. Can you imagine kids today? They don't know anything about the Bible. What they do know is twisted. But it says here, train up a child in the way as you go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. So I thank the Lord for growing up in a Christian home. Then when we had children, my policy was then and is still, when a child asks a question, you give them an answer. Child asks you a question. If you tell them, you're too young to know that, they're going to get the answer somewhere. They better get it from me. Get it right. Now, in those days, I lived in Washington, D.C., in the suburban Maryland, and a lot of traffic, a lot of traffic lights. So you don't know how many Bible verses and commentaries we had on Kenilworth Avenue and East-West Highway, those traffic lights. So rather than being aggravated, it was time for me to talk about Bible verses. It's just a thing you just simply do. You talk about it. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul said this about Timothy, that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Let's see what it says. Which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Why do you think Satan hates the Bible? The Bible gives us the way of salvation. It's not just a matter we don't want to believe the things of the Bible. Satan doesn't want people to be saved. They don't want people to hear the word of God. And so Timothy had that advantage. In our ministerial group that I'm in called the Fellowship of Bible Churches, well, I've just made an observation. Preachers today, the ones that grew up in church, as I tell people, I was in church before my mother and dad knew I was here in my mother's womb. For a while, life begins at conception. I was there as soon as I was conceived. They didn't even know it for a while. But we found out that the ministers today that are preaching this morning have an advantage if they were raised in church, came up through church. And then guys that were saved, and some of them are good. I know one fellow, he was a great pastor. But he got saved, and he was a sergeant in the Air Force at an Air Force base. And part of his problem was, I tried to be kind to him, he tried to run the church like it's an Air Force base, but the plane didn't land, if you know what I mean. So there's advantage of growing up in church. I was 23 when I went into ministry. That's young. But it means I had 23 years of sitting in the pew and listening and making my observations and figuring people are probably watching me just like I watched my minister. Said nothing, but sure did a lot of watching. So it's great to grow up in church, to be wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. These words which I command you, this day will be in your heart. Teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them on your hand as frontlets between your eyes. And my kids do this. Write them on the post of your house and your gates. Aren't you glad your children didn't know that when they were writing on the walls in their bedrooms? Suppose you, how many, did your kids ever do that? Writing on walls in house? When we had to paint, get all those marks off the wall. Aren't you glad your kids didn't know that? They can say, Dad, I'm just doing what the Bible says. That would have really destroyed your response to them. So it was a part of our life. Salvation is not something you do on Sunday and then Monday, then you get real living. I'm telling you, living starts when you know Jesus. It doesn't start Monday morning at work. It starts when you know Jesus as your Savior. And so we teach them these things. Now, you may say, well, I'm not trained enough to teach. I've been in the ministry 60 years. Of that time, I spent 25 years as an adjunct teacher at Washington Bible College. There's nothing like learning the Bible when you're starting to teach. And there'll be times students would ask me a question I hadn't thought about. Talk about being caught off guard. So I'd write down what they asked. I got that one. I would put that in my notes. So if I'm teaching that same course next year, I'm not going to get caught on that one. The best way to learn is to teach. And your children don't know that you don't know these things. I don't know how you guys folks were when I realized my wife was pregnant and a good child's going to come. My first reaction was, man, I can never do what my dad did. You just begin to compare yourself. You're a new dad and you compare yourself to your father and think, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Then I begin to think, she doesn't know that. The baby doesn't know that. Then when the first grandchild came, I thought, how am I going to be a grandchild? As I jokingly say, Sarah taught me well. They don't know you don't know, but you can go to the Lord and ask the Lord to help you teach your children. If they ask you a question you can't answer, that's your homework to find out. Now, my challenge to you is this. We have a wonderful presentation here. Nothing about this whatsoever that is negative. Going to be a great teaching. But if I understand correctly, these folks are not going to your houses tomorrow morning and start teaching. Is that correct? You're not planning to go around through the community.
We actually have a resource for them.
Okay, you got a resource. But they better listen. They better do it. It'll be up tomorrow morning. Who's going to be the teacher?
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad. So listen carefully, especially when the children come in the presentation. I mean, if the kids will learn it better than you do, you might be embarrassed by it. But it's our responsibility. I've learned so much by teaching. I heard one teacher one time said, he'd been teaching a book of Revelation. He's beginning to understand it. I thought, what a humble statement. It's not humble. It's true. When I went to Washington Bible College, I said, I'm going to know the Bible in 4 years. In 4 years, I'm going to know the book. About halfway through my senior year, I began thinking, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to know everything. Today, still haven't made it. But isn't it great to keep studying the Word? You learn more and more all the time. So an instruction there. Ephesians 6:4. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but then bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. One of the ways we can get our children angry is we don't live what we say to them. Kids can smell hypocrisy 10 miles away. Now, we can rebuke them, and you tell them to shut up. But it's one thing you can't do. You can't cut off the mind. This is silent, but this is going to 10,000 miles an hour. And they're wondering why now they can't speak up. So we have to ask our children also to forgive us when we make mistakes. It happened one time. I hated it, but it happened. I spanked my son for something he didn't do. Why did I ever give it to him? And found later, he didn't do it. I was told he didn't do it, but the hand was quicker than the reaction should have been. So I had to ask Steve, I'm sorry. Would you ask, I forget, would you forgive me for spanking you what you didn't do? What you didn't do. And everything was fine. The next day, just as a side thing, hey Steve, remember yesterday I spanked you for what you didn't do? You know you got away with a lot of things I didn't catch you on. So it was kind of a draw on that. But they see us. They learn by our mistakes. How do we correct our mistakes? We want them. So children teach us, come to Jesus, have an intensity in the Word, and train them in the Word of God. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we give thanks for those of us that had parents that did these things. For those of us here today, we pray we'll have the invitation to come to Jesus, intensity for the Word, and that we will instruct our children in the ways of the Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Suburban that would hold all of our children and all of our sound equipment. And as we were trusting the Lord, there was one day I was getting ready to go to the grocery store and I was making a shopping list. And I was writing, I asked my wife, I said, well, what do we need? And she said, oh, we need some bread, we could use some milk. And I'm writing down, well, my daughter at that time was about 4 years old and she came up. She goes, Daddy, she goes, write a new car on that list. Put a new car on there. And I said, well, honey, I said, no, I said, this is the shopping list. I said, the car is really expensive. I said, I'm just going to go get some food today. Well, as soon as those words came out of my mouth, God just convicted me. And I had just finished writing the word bananas on the list when she had said about, Daddy, put a car on that list. And the Lord just convicted me because I'm like, and the Lord spoke to me in that moment. He said, what's the difference between bananas or a new car? I said, well, I'm thinking, you know, well, bananas are only, you know, 29 cents a pound. You know, a car is like $14,000. And the Lord said, it doesn't matter. He goes, you trust me for bananas, you trust me for a new car. He goes, it's man who puts the price on things. In his kingdom, he goes, there's no price tag. If you have a need, he goes, you bring that need to me and you trust me for it. But so my daughter taught me a lesson downstairs, so I apologize to the Lord for that. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry for not trusting you in that. I'm sorry for doubting. And I wrote a car on that shopping list that day. And I think within a week we had a new car. So praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Kids teach you a lot. We're glad you guys made it.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Hi, guys.
Yeah? Well, something we love to do is praise the Lord. We can say it with words. We can say it with songs. We like doing it all day long. And so we have a song that we like to teach everybody, and that's the big kids too. And if you want to get closer, you can. We won't bite. We promise. But, you know, but see, don't the kids teach you something? Again, up front, ready to go. You know, hungry. So,
amen. All right. So this song that we're going to sing this morning has some sign language in it. Do you guys know what sign language is? Yeah, what's sign language?
It's where you can use words.
Yeah, you speak with your hands, because usually, it's usually for people who are deaf who can't hear. And if you can't hear, you can't learn to speak with your mouth, so you use your hands. So in this song, we're all going to learn a little bit of sign language. We're going to start by making the little letter D. You just make a circle and point that finger up. That's the little letter D in sign language.
See how it looks with the thumb on the middle finger? Pointer finger
okay,
up.
Okay, so you're going to put your elbow in your hand with your little.
I can't do it.
You can.
Well, try.
I think you can do it.
It's okay. You know what? We wait.
Yep, that's
there,
right.
That's it.
There you go. You got it.
There you go.
Put your elbow in your hand. And we're going to put our little D down like this, okay?
On your elbow.
Down to the elbow. This is the sign for day in sign language, okay? And in this song it says, all day long I give, put the backs of your hands together and turn them out. This is the sign for give. Like you're giving a gift or a present. I give my life to you. Now who are we giving our lives to this morning? To God, to Jesus. That's right. So let's try this again. All day long I give my life to you. In everything I do, you make a little fist, put your hand up underneath, like that's the sign for do. In everything I do, I will praise you. So let's put that all together. All day long, I give my life to you. In everything I do, I will praise you. Okay, that's the hard part of the song. The beginning of the song starts like this. This part isn't sign language. These are just motions. Okay, it says, early every morning when the sun begins to shine and I open up my eyes, I will praise you. We'll do that two times. Then we do all day long. I give my life to you. In everything I do, I will praise you. Okay, then we're going to just have a little part where we're all going to take a step toward that wall.
So,
okay?
Can you do it sitting down?
Nope. I think you ought to stand up so we can practice here, okay? So this part is like, you stand beside me, your hand will guide me, you fill my heart with praise. And we'll do that two times, then we'll sing the song all over again. Now this song is kind of a little bit of like Jewish, Israeli type of sound. It has that kind of rhythm and beat to it. So at the very end of the song, we're going to jump and yell, hey. So on the count of three, we're going to jump up and yell, hey. Okay, one, two, three.
Hey!
Okay, let's try that part.
A little better.
Okay, let's try that again. One, two, three.
Hey!
All right, and that's how the song's going to end, and I'll let you know when we're going to have to jump and yell, hey. Okay, so I think you guys will catch on.
To do, but sometimes it's things we're not supposed to do. And it's not because he hates us. It's because he loves us. And so today we're going to be talking about just a few things in the Word of God. And we are so excited to be here. And are you ready, Mr. Rick?
I am ready. Okay, so we're going to have the proclamation from the king. So I'm going to blow the shofar. So I'm going to have everybody stand up. And we're going to reveal our proclamation from King Jesus.
Is it going to be loud?
Yes. It might be loud.
You might want to cover your ears if you don't like loud sounds.
Say that all together?
We have to do the and his righteousness.
Oh, and his righteousness. I'm sorry.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33.
All right. Praise the Lord. Okay, you guys might have noticed this big castle up here today, okay? So today we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God. Have you ever heard of that before?
You guys can sit down.
Yeah, you can sit down. You guys ever heard about the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus taught about the kingdom all the time, and he used all kinds of object lessons and all kinds of ways to teach his disciples about the kingdom. And he used parables and stories. Well, you know, I was thinking, Miss Cheryl, we don't want to be the only ones up here leading worship and singing songs, so we're going to have you guys help us out at this time, okay? So we're going to...
You don't have to come up front.
You're going to be able to lead from there. But when our six children were with us and we traveled and we sang and ministered together, we used to ring handbells.
Who saw us back in those days?
Yeah. We rang handbells.
All our kids grew up.
All our bell ringers grew up and are getting married and going to college and having grandbabies. And so, so Miss Cheryl and I, God gave us this new idea of how to ring bells, but you guys are going to become our bell ringers. Okay. And would you like to help us ring some bells?
Would you like to ring bells? Okay. So you don't have to.
You don't have to if you don't want to.
Okay.
You'll be an observer. We're going to need some grown-up kids' help too.
Yes, we will. So give us a second. I play handbells and ninth grade.
Awesome.
No, we're not playing them like that.
Oh. It's the easy way. Okay. Hold up the work in this piano.
Oh, yeah. Okay, can everybody see the chart? Can you all read that? Okay. So the green one, you're an F sharp. So who has green?
Raise your hand.
Raise your bell. Raise okay. Your bell. If it's an F sharp, okay.
So what you're gonna do? Let's let them.
It's like practice.
It's like this.
You're just gonna shake them. Okay, there you go. Okay, yellow E's.
Go ahead.
Okay, you can go ahead and. There you go. Okay, D. All right, there you go. C sharp. Okay. And B purple. And A blue. There you go.
Read the, there's a couple different blues. Look at the tag. If it says A. Is yours A? Okay, you're fine.
Yep, you're good. A,
okay.
A blue bill.
Okay, yeah,
that's fine. That'll work.
A G. Okay, so it's coming. It'll be on the next page.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, we're going to start by practicing. So let's keep our bells quiet. When I point to the note, I want
you to ring
the bell when I point. Okay, so here we go. So now we're going to add some more bells to that, okay? So now we're going to play these together. We're going to start building a chord, okay? So here we go.
F sharp and D.
Okay, now we're going to add some more notes, okay?
This will be a song. Just hold on.
Yeah, this is going to be a song, and we're actually going to play this with a soundtrack, okay? And then we're all going to sing. So those of you who don't have bells, you're going to be the choir today. And you're the singers, and we're going to sing the song Seek Ye First, okay?
Look at there.
All right, so they're going to practice here. We're going to add a third note. Here we go. The whole way through. Yep.
Yeah, there's a low A and there's a higher A. Like in a, we're not that particular. If we had a couple hours, maybe, but we don't. Okay.
So, all right, so you think we're ready here? We can.
Now we gotta sing. We gotta teach him a song.
Okay, now we're gonna sing Seek Ye First. Okay, so let's practice. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. Then we're going to sing, Hallelujah. ye first. So we're going to sing that as we play. We're going to put it to music. So you guys, you think you can do this?
I need the singers. And if you're a ringer and a singer, that would be amazing. But that is really hard to ring and sing. Okay.
But if you can, that would be great.
For some reason, I'm getting an allergic, like, if you hear me coughing, I am not sick. I just had this allergic reaction today. Of all days, right? So I need your help.
Okay, so we're going to start. There's going to be an introduction, and then I'll point to the bells when it's time to play, okay? So here we go.
You guys are doing really well.
You are.
And if you want, you can hold it against you to keep it quiet until you're ready to ring. It's just a bell ringer technique.
All right.
Ready? Didn't come. praise the Lord. You know, I heard a lot of the big kids back there had fun, so that's good. You know, the whole goal is, you know, it's the kids for the kingdom. We're not talking age. We're talking that we're all children of God. Okay, we're all for the kingdom. See, it is for you guys, but it's for those guys too. It's for all of us, okay? The kingdom is for all of us. And did you realize the song that we sang is our verse? And sometimes that's a way to start learning the verses. We couldn't get in all these things on there because then it would have been really small print. So, but you know, that's what God wants. He wants us to seek his kingdom. You know, we just had the Lord's Prayer this morning. You know, as it is in heaven, let it be here on earth. Let it be here. May your kingdom come. That's what we're talking about today. We want the kingdom of God to come this morning. Okay? So anyway, let me put this down.
Answer all. Is it time for me? Woohoo! Hi, everybody. Hi, boys and girls. Oh, hi, Aunt Cheryl.
Hey, BJ.
Praise the Lord. Woo-hoo. I'm excited to be here today, Aunt Cheryl.
Yes.
Wow.
Can y'all see? Am I in the way? If you need to come over here, you can see, okay? If I'm in the way.
Woo. Praise the Lord. Oh, Aunt Cheryl, I'm so excited to be back in the big castle again.
I know.
We haven't had our big castle out for a long time.
God's doing many neat things.
Amen. God is good.
Actually, you know, it was because of 2020 that we're back here again.
Yep, amen.
Because God had us start doing videos online for our kids and our congregation. And our elders and our pastor saw that and said, you guys need to develop this.
Praise the Lord.
Now the ministry of Woo Wee is back, and we'll tell you in a second. So there's stuff back there. But the pastor was saying, tomorrow, we're not taking our castle to your house.
Nope. That's why you're here today.
We have resources, that short videos. They have BJ, other puppets, stories, and it's things to spur off of, and handout sheets and print-offs, and it's there for you.
Yep, amen.
It's there for you to continue on training your children.
Amen, and we'll keep adding to them, won't we?
We will.
We're going to keep making new ones.
And if you don't have kids in your house, it's okay, because we've had adults come, I really like that one that you did. So,
yep, amen.
So it's there. If you want to talk to us during lunch or something about it, we can talk then.
Yep, but the ministry's called Woo-wee.
And that sounds
That's how I like to praise the Lord.
I know.
You guys remember how I like to praise the Lord?
Well, some
Been
of you
a long
guys
time.
Don't know, so you got to teach them.
Some of you guys are new.
Yeah, so how do we do it, BJ?
Okay, well, I love to praise the Lord everywhere I go, don't I, Aunt Cheryl?
You do.
And I got my own special way, and it goes like this. First, we're going to count to three. One, two, three. Then we're going to yell, praise the Lord! Woo-wee! Can you try that with me?
Do they have to do the woo-wee part?
Oh, yeah, that's the main part.
Is it?
Yeah, that sends it right on to heaven, right through the pearly gates, right to the throne of God.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so
we're
going to
lift up our praises to the Lord and make a joyful noise
unto
the
Lord. Well, wait a minute.
Wait.
You know, in Psalm 150, the very last verse of the biggest book of the Bible, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. How many of you are breathing?
Are you breathing?
How many are breathing? Oh, a couple aren't.
No,
okay.
Some of them are. I think we're going to have a healing service.
Yeah.
You laying on of hands.
Well, they believe in prayer here, and they know prayer works. Woo. So, Lord Jesus, we pray everybody's breathing in Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Yeah.
You know, but the Bible tells us if you're breathing, you're praising.
Yep. We're supposed to be praising the Lord.
It's not an option.
Woo.
How you do it can be an option. But we're to be praising.
Amen.
So today we're going to have fun, and because God loves it. God loves it. It
Amen.
Makes him happy.
Amen. Aunt Cheryl. So here, let's do it again on the count of three.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Praise the Lord! Woo-wee!
Very good.
Not bad.
Amen.
Not bad. We're not close to West Virginia, though, right?
No, I don't think so.
Anybody from West Virginia or have any roots? Okay, good. Well, not that that's good, but if anybody, but when we get closer to West Virginia.
But it's not bad either.
It's not bad, no. But yee-haw works better than woo-wee. Honestly, we have, it's true. It's true. We get closer to the West Virginia line. I have relatives in West Virginia, so I can say this. So anyway, but BJ, you know, we love praising God because He is so good.
Everywhere we go, God is
so faithful. We have so many stories. Do you guys have any stories of how God's taken care of you? Can you think of anything? Because God has. How many of you have ever gotten a cut? Maybe scraped your knee. Is it still bleeding? What happened? It healed. Who healed it? God did.
God did.
God heals us. He's designed us to get better. So.
Amen.
Anyway, so.
And Cheryl, I couldn't help but notice this big gold chair sitting here.
Yeah.
What's it for?
Well, what do you think it's for?
Well, it looks like it's for a king or something.
Yeah.
It looks like a throne.
It is. Well, we have our castle.
Well, that's true.
And we have our chair. What kind of chair? The BJ just said. Yeah? A throne. Yeah.
A throne. Yeah, it looks like a throne.
So it is
solid
for a
gold and velvet fabric on there.
Yeah.
Ooh, fit for a king, it looks like.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and where does that throne go? In a castle.
Yeah.
In the moat around the castle? Does it go floating in the water? No. Where does it go? Does it go in the bedroom? No. Does it go in the kitchen? Where does it go?
The throne room.
There we go.
Yep, amen.
The kids can answer. It's fine.
Yep, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it goes in the throne room. And the throne room is very unique in the castle. That is where the king sits when he makes his rules. He's over the whole country, right? He's in charge. And it's like, it's really, really important.
It's where he makes his proclamations and his decrees.
Yeah. It's where people come and they're like petitioning the king, you know, and everything. So it's kind of really important. So that's why we have it here.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see what else we brought with us today, BJ?
I saw the treasure chest over there, Aunt Cheryl.
Is
that the king's treasure?
It is. I'm going to move the shofar back here.
Okay.
All right.
Wow.
All right. Well, we have the king's treasure. Can you hear me all right if I don't use a mic? Okay. We have the king's treasure. Now, a lot of times that's in the treasure room, right? And it's the most valuable things the king has. Is there a shiny in there?
Oh,
BJ, there's something shiny in
here. Oh, yeah, I see some. It looks like it's full of light or something, Aunt Cheryl. It must be full of gold or something. It must be full of all kinds of gold and riches and treasures. Wow, you guys think it's full of treasure?
Yeah.
Yeah? Aunt Cheryl, is it full of treasure?
No, it is. It's something so valuable.
What is it?
If we fill this whole room with gold and silver and pennies and dollars and all diamonds, if we filled from the floor all the way to the ceiling and around, what is inside here is worth more than that.
Wow, it must be some kind of spectacular treasure.
If we filled this room with video games.
Aunt Cheryl, what is it?
It's
we can't wait to see.
It's more important than that, okay?
Wow. What is it, Aunt Cheryl?
Can you show?
Yeah, we're ready, aren't we, boys and girls? Yeah. Look.
It's God's word.
It's a Holy Bibley. It says right there on the frame.
It's Holy Bible.
Oh, I'm sorry, I read it upside down.
That's okay.
Holy Bible.
It's God's word. This is so valuable. And God tells us, we already talked about it. What he wants us to know, that he loves us, okay?
Yeah.
But in this treasure chest, there's actually other things.
Really?
There is.
Wow. Aunt Cheryl, I was thinking about the God's word being our treasure. Wow.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Ooh, it's heavy.
What is it, Aunt Cheryl? Oh, my goodness.
Brown.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's the most beautiful thing I ever did see. Wow. Oh, Aunt Cheryl.
So it's a crown.
Wow.
That's diamonds. That's for the king.
It has diamonds on it. And it looks like rubies.
Oh, sapphires and oh my goodness.
My goodness, Aunt Cheryl.
It's amazing.
Wow.
So who's this for?
The king.
It's for
the king. Aunt Cheryl.
And you know, get back
Aunt Cheryl, who's the king?
Well, if it's a king of a country, you know, they don't become king until the crown is placed on their head. You know?
Well, so they don't have any authority or power until that crown is placed on their head.
And the people of the country is saying, you are in charge. Now you are in charge. And you know, BJ, we're just not talking about stuff here. This is in the people place, you know, with chairs and castles and crowns. But God, you know, I heard something really interesting, and it really helped me, is that he's kind of, you know, this is the natural stuff. You know, nature, things we can touch, that's natural, right?
Yeah.
Well, God is super natural. He's just bigger than that. And so a lot of things he tells us is spiritual. And so he wants us to think, how do I say this? He wants us, when we pray, I mean, that's connecting to him in the spirit, isn't it? I mean, think about it. This is just something
it's
new
like
that's come to me.
Heaven.
You talked, Pastor, today about learning. And it's just like these things, you just keep learning. You never too old. Well, I want us to use our imaginations, BJ.
Oh, our immigration. My grandma, she was in immigration.
No, not immigration.
She came all the way from England.
No. Imagination.
Oh, imagination.
Do you guys know what imagination is?
What does that word mean?
Okay,
that's a big
went
word.
To the brain. What is it? What's imagination?
Something you imagine.
Well, don't use the word that was for the definition. I know the dictionary does that sometimes. Like, well, that doesn't help me.
Make believe.
Pretend. Do you guys ever do that?
Yeah.
You know, some kids, it's a good thing to just get lost sometimes and pretend. Grown-ups, it's good to pretend.
Yes.
It's good to imagine. You know, and
it's like seeing
picture.
In your mind before it actually comes into the physical. Kind of like when you decorate a room.
Yeah.
You kind of make a decision how you're going to decorate it, and you kind of see it in your mind how you
That's
want
true.
It to be before you go out and buy your paint.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever do that? You think about how you're gonna do it. And so right now we're going to use our imagination.
Okay.
If you have to, close your eyes.
Okay.
And this chair is a very special throne, but we're going to pretend that we're not going to have this castle here, but that our heart is a castle.
Ooh.
Our heart, it's not a wooden castle.
And
inside
our heart, and our heart is like there's a throne room with a throne.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
I can see.
And there's chairs there, and who is going to sit on that throne?
I wonder who's going to sit on it.
I don't know. You know, and when we have that person sit on the throne.
Aunt Cheryl, it sounds like somebody's knocking at the door.
Yeah, but we're busy. We're talking about the kingdom of God, and we have things to do. I mean, how rude is that to be knocking on the door of the castle?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's kind of like.
Here we are trying to talk about the Lord, and somebody's knocking on the door.
Oh, BJ.
Wait.
BJ, the verse. Wait. The verse. Behold.
Oh, Revelation 3:20.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him.
Jesus is knocking at the door of our heart, our castle, and he wants to come in and sit on the throne. He wants to be in charge, but he's waiting for us to ask him. Jesus is so kind to us. He's not one that just busts down the door and says, I'm taking over.
No, he's a gentleman. He waits till he gets invited to come in. He doesn't just charge in.
So what do we say to Jesus? He's knocking at the door. What do we say?
Come in.
Do you guys want to help me? Say, come in, Jesus. Ready? Come in, Jesus. Guys, Jesus is still standing there. Say, come on, Jesus, as loud as you can. 1, 2, 3.
Come in, Jesus.
There. He got that one. Actually, he wouldn't even hear our thoughts. But, you know.
And sure, when we say that to Jesus, he does come in, doesn't he?
He does.
Wow.
He does.
Just like that. That's so simple and so easy.
And we crown him the King of Kings
and
Lord of Lords and say, I want you to be in charge of my life. Everything, the little things, the big things. What am I going to play today? What am I going to cook for dinner? Who should I call today? What should I do? Should I have, this happened and I want to have a bad attitude, but King Jesus says no. And he wants me to have a good attitude today, you know? And it makes life so much better when we have Jesus as our King.
Sitting on the throne. And Aunt Cheryl?
Put it on his head because it's not there. So
he wants to be our Lord, doesn't he? And our Master.
He does.
And our King.
He does.
And he wants to come in and wash away all our sin.
Yes.
He takes away our sin, boys and girls.
And so if our castle, our heart is dirty with sin, you know what?
Aunt Cheryl, what is sin? Some of these boys and girls might not know what sin is.
Well, why don't you tell them?
Sin is the stuff that we do that doesn't please God.
Yeah.
It goes against the Bible, what His Word says in the Bible.
Yeah.
And when we don't do what His Word says and we disobey Him, it's called sin.
Yeah.
And it separates us from God, doesn't it?
It does. Sin can't get to heaven.
No.
It's not allowed because it's so holy. But God made the way.
And God loves us so much, and He wants to be on the throne of our heart. He wants us to be our Lord and Savior and save us from sin and give us a life that's just abundant
with joy. So we just say, Jesus, come in and live.
And so we say, Jesus, come into my life.
And He cleans us up. He forgives us. We say, we're sorry.
It's so simple.
We're sorry. I did this wrong. I forgive me. And He does.
Amen.
And He helps us. But there is somebody... And nobody likes talking about this, at least not in people out in the world, right?
Right.
There's somebody that likes to steal the throne.
Uh-oh.
And this dude is not
good. He sounds like an enemy.
He is an enemy. And he doesn't knock. He's sneaky. He tries to trick us.
I think I know who you're talking about.
He tries to sneak in and says, I want to be in charge.
He plays dirty tricks, Aunt Cheryl.
And we just say, but who is it? Who is it? The devil. Okay?
Yep, he's our enemy, boys
and girls. And a lot of times we'll see people, and I'm not judging them, but I can look at what they're doing. I can look at I can hear what they're saying, and I know it doesn't line up with God's word. And then I'm like, I don't think Jesus is really on the throne of their lives. I don't think Jesus is really... And so it causes me to pray for them.
Yeah.
Okay? There are people hurting. There are people needing Jesus. And they don't know that Jesus needs to be King. It's up to us to shine and say, Jesus is so wonderful.
Yep.
So,
He should be shining out of our hearts, Aunt Cheryl, and out of our lives.
Yeah.
Yep. It should be evident. People will know us by our fruit.
Yeah. And you know, BJ, I was 7 years old when I asked Jesus in my heart.
You were just a little girl.
And it's very interesting. Mine was on the Thursday before Easter. And our particular church, they would always have communion that night. And I walked in the back door, BJ.
Yeah.
And I saw it. My mom was there. My dad was on a business trip. I saw the communion all ready to go. And in my church... Kids weren't allowed to have it unless they had asked Jesus in their heart. And it only happened every so often. I stopped in the back of the sanctuary. I tugged on my mom at 7 years old. And I said, I want to ask Jesus in my heart because I don't want to miss this again. And so she went and talked to the pastor. And usually time to come up and pray is at the end. Well, I got all switched around that night. We had a song. And I got to ask Jesus in my heart that night. 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Praise
the Lord, you
have. Now you can figure out how old I am.
Aunt Cheryl, praise the Lord, you had a pastor that wasn't all theological and doctrinal and all that stuff, that he was able to flow in the Spirit and change it up so you could get saved.
Amen. Amen. So we're not too old, we're not too young.
Nope, amen.
And you know, when you ask Jesus in your heart, it is so exciting. How many of you remember what that felt like when you asked Jesus in your heart, that relief, that joy?
Amen.
You know, it was awesome, wasn't it? Amen.
Yeah, God is so good.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, so BJ, do you want to sing a song?
Yeah, can we? I thought of a song called Into My Heart.
Oh, I love that song.
That invites King Jesus to come in. And it goes like this. Into my heart. Into my heart, come into my heart, King Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, King Jesus. That's Can we all sing it together?
You know, that's a prayer.
Yeah.
A prayer to music.
Amen.
Oh, I love
yes,
that.
It is.
You know, I don't know where you guys are today, but think about it as we sing this. If you would like Jesus to come into your heart and be in charge, and maybe you said, well, I did that a long time ago, but, you know, I'm not completely lining up to, I do some
well,
stuff.
You know
I mess up. I need to say I'm sorry.
There's a lot of times people know Jesus as their Savior, but they don't know him as their Lord.
Yeah. Yeah,
as the king of their lives.
So let's sing this song together,
okay? Yeah. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, King Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart. King Jesus.
Praise you, Lord. Lord, we just exalt your name.
Yes, Lord.
We are so thankful that you love us so much.
Amen.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord, BJ.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Is there anyone here today that felt that song? For the first time. Amen. Or not the first time, but you felt the song. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And if you felt it? I felt it.
Yep,
how about you, BJ?
Yep,
that was very special.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise
Thank
the
you.
Lord.
Thank you, King Jesus.
Praise
Thank
you, Lord.
Thank you for coming into our hearts and lives. Thank you, King Jesus. We invite you to sit on the throne of our heart, and we crown you the King of Kings and the Lord of our lives. Praise
Amen.
You, Lord.
Well, let's praise God, okay?
Yes, let's praise Him together.
All right.
One, two, three. Praise the Lord! Woo! Oh, hot doggy, doesn't that feel good to praise the Lord?
Yeah.
God is
you
so
know,
good.
You know, BJ?
Yeah.
I'm feeling impressed by the Lord.
Yeah.
That we might have a prayer time here.
Okay.
And I just feel like if there's anything that you're trusting God for, I mean, I know you had the long prayer list already. You know, we're trusting God for things, right? And I'm just feeling it's like God is ready to give us answers. He's here, ready to answer us. It's what do we want to trust Him for? You know? And so if there's anyone here, we're going to have a little bit of time. So, BJ, if there's anyone that wants to ask Jesus in our heart, would like us to pray with them, I think this is a sweet time right now.
Amen.
And I'd like to do that. Or if you have someone you want to pray for, okay? So, or if there's some need, and you don't have to come up front. You may come up front, and we'll come and pray with you, okay,
Amen.
BJ?
So, intro, I'm going to go back here and pray.
Okay,
I'll
all
be
right.
Praying.
All right.
Hey, God bless you, boys and girls. I get to come back later, right?
Yes, we get to... We get to come after lunch.
Yeah.
We have a whole nother thing ready.
So I get to see you guys again.
Okay.
Yay. All right. God bless you.
All right, BJ.
Bye-bye. Y'all. Keep on joining. Toodles.
Bye. Praise the Lord. God is so good. You know, God is answering prayers. God does answer prayers. God is continuing to answer prayers. I mean, the first thing that we were told today, look at my hands. They're better. God is, and she didn't even know who prayed. heart. And he heard that. He says he, whatever you have need of, he provides. And it's really exciting. So anyways, are you getting anything, Mr. Rick? Not yet?
I'll just maybe sing and then people can come up.
Okay. Okay. So we're just going to have, and then we have a fun song at the end. So don't worry. This isn't the end. This is a pause. But let's, if anybody wants to come up here and just either give, they want Jesus to be their king. Amen. Amen. The children lead. Amen. It's there. Yes.
We have a book back there that people ask for requests. Some may be unspoken.
Okay.
So if you would be so kind as to pray over this book, plus our church directory, pray over the families that are in there. I keep praying for the Holy Spirit to set up on fire an urge for them to come back.
Okay. You know what? You gotta blow the shofar on this.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. God's got a neat plan this morning, doesn't he? So I would think everybody that's in this room is represented here somehow, right?
Some, and some are guests, but some are
okay.
Pretty much all of them.
You can just blow it toward it.
Yeah. So I ought to tell you a neat story. Do you guys, a friend of ours has shofars, and he blows them everywhere, right? And as we were preparing for this, you guys are actually the breakthrough for us in launching this again,
going back out
to do this. So you guys are the first.
You're the first fruits.
You're the first fruits. It's kind of like Easter Sunday morning, you know? It's the first fruits. It's like, and we were thinking, and this is like, we used to have our son play the trumpet when he was home and do the fanfare, right? Well, he's married for 12 years now. We don't have that. We were going to do electronic recording. And then it just hit us. Oh, if we had a shofar. And it was like, for 20 minutes, we were praying, where can we get one? Can we get one in time? This was last Wednesday, a week ago. We thought of our friend, and he... And it's just like, so we wrote to him an email. And I just felt so impressed as I was writing this email. I just felt God just like, ask him, does he know where we can get one? Within an hour, he called us. He says, I have this shofar laying in a bedroom that I haven't used for years. It's there in up here. Within less than 24 hours, this shofar was in our home. And he blows it over families, his shofar. His thing is he just feels like there's a family anointing. There is something for families.
It represents spiritual awakening and breakthrough.
Yeah. It's an anointing from God. And within 24 hours, we had it. So Mr. Ricks had a week to practice. So as we do this, I'm also sensing... I want to tell you your song that you did for Prelude. We just happened to see The Sound of Music this week at a playhouse, and he did Climb Every Mountain, and we're like,
God told us on our way there that he was going to speak to us through the play. We didn't get anything that night, but as you were playing that, I leaned over to her. I said, God's really wanting us to hear something about this. And as you were, I was thinking about the Von Trapp family as they took their children up across the mountain to escape Nazis, how they were saving the children. They were saving their family. And I
out of danger.
We're in a day and age right now that we need to save the family. We need to save our children. And praise God for the overturning of Roe versus Wade.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Talk about praying and praying. God answers prayer. I mean, that one took 50 years and millions of people praying for, you know, almost 50 years over that. But God did it, and we've had that victory, praise God.
Thank you. So,
Cheryl, yeah. Also at the end of your prayer, if you would ask the blessing for the family.
Absolutely. Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So,
you ready?
Yeah, so let's all pray, believing that God is going to touch every single family,
amen.
Every single prayer, and every extended family that is in here, and everyone in the room, and all your families. That we come to know the saving salvation of Jesus, and we go forth and tell more. Every name written down, an unspoken request that is in this book. We pray for everyone in this room. And we pray for, Lord, a joy of their salvation. And Lord, if there is anyone here that has not asked Jesus to be king of their lives, Lord, we just pray that even during lunch, they're thinking about it. And that's okay. Think about it and ponder it. And the Holy Spirit won't let you alone. Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit just keeps tugging on what you want them to trust you for. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, and we know that you provide everything. You provide everything that we need. Everything that we need. And we just praise you, Lord. We pray for breakthrough. We pray for the prodigals, Lord God, that are not in the kingdom of God right now. We pray them back. We pray them back.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
And we pray for the families in this world, in this community, Lord God, that has never heard Jesus. They've never been in a church, Lord God. And we just pray for salvation, that what happened on this week, the breakthrough, that there will be a new birth in this country, Lord God, that people would... That there would be a new birth. The water broke, Lord God, and now the baby's coming. And Lord God, we need to be ready to tell people about the wonderful news of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
I'm going to blow the shofar one more time, and then we'll do the meal. And so, Lord, it is now time for us to go eat. We've had spiritual food, and we're going to go have physical food, and we get to come back and have more fun and more spiritual food, and then we get more ice cream at the end. So, I mean, this has been a really good feast day.
Amen.
So, Lord, we ask a blessing on the meal and all the hands that have prepared it, Lord.
Yes,
God.
Lord,
and may this time be really, really sweet, our fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that was a different way to do this. Okay, so are you in charge to guide or?
Well,
so follow the leader.
Song we want to teach you guys is called Knock Knock Knock, okay? And it goes like this. It goes, knock, 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 I heard Jesus knocking, tug, 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 tugging on my heartstrings, thump, 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 my heart started thumping when I heard him knocking. Can you guys try that with us? Knock, 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 I heard Jesus knocking, tug, 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 tugging on my heartstrings, thump, thump,
on,
thump. My heart started thumping when I heard him knocking. All right? So that's the chorus. Just follow Miss Cheryl and I. When we get to the verses, just do what we do, okay?
Everybody stand up.
Knock, 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 I hear Jesus knock. Tug, 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 tugging on my heartstrings.
10 minutes before you guys made it. So, that's right. We put it away. Had almost everything out.
All right. So let's stand for the proclamation of the King.
Something to demise, you know, and that's not good. So who comes up with the schemes? Who is that? Right here, the devil. It's his schemes. So we are to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's scheme. So this is telling us that there's a way to stand up against the devil, isn't it? Right? There's something that God has supplied. Mr. Rick, that's still a lot to think about. Hmm. What do you think we can do to think about it more?
Well, maybe look in the, see if King Jesus has an answer for us.
He might.
In his word, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's glowing again.
Oh, I see something.
I do too. You know, I'm going to get the, you know, sometimes I like reading around the verse because I think there's more to this. And why don't we look it up? Where do I go? Can you see where the address is?
Ephesians 6:10.
You know what? I put a bookmark in so that I wouldn't have to go looking for it. There we go. Look, Mr. Rick. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So we can be strong, okay?
In his mighty power, yeah.
And it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You remember in the first session we talked about things that are in the natural. You know, we're flesh and blood. We're natural, right? We're that. But that's not our battle. That's what the Bible is telling us. What is it? It's against rulers and against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So our battle, so this armor isn't like what's in the picture. It's God's armor that we put on so that we can take our stand against things that are happening in the evil, right? Have you guys ever seen anything that wasn't good and it seemed evil? Or sad, yeah, you know, and it's just like, you know, or somebody that's not acting nice. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever been picked on and it wasn't nice? Yeah. Oh, you know sign language a little bit, don't you? Yeah. It's like, and that's not from God. So if it's not from God, it's more likely from the devil, right? It's a It's either the light of God shining down or if it's the darkness of evil. So we can put on the full armor. Let's see. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. It says it twice. Pastor Sam, do you ever find out that when it says it twice, God's really wanting to get our attention?
Absolutely.
You know, here it is, just a few verses apart, that it says, put on the full armor of God. And is this a suggestion? No. It's not, well, if you feel like it. If you have Jesus as your king and everything, you know, if you want to.
There's this armor you could put on if you want.
No, yeah. We're to put it on.
He's commanding us. He's telling us to put it on.
Yeah, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. So there are sometimes there's things for us to do, but then there's sometimes we just stand, knowing this is true. I'm standing here with my armor on.
We have our confidence in the Lord.
And we can know that. So
kind of like you know, I think about David and Goliath. Remember King David when he was a little boy? Stood up before Goliath, right? He was very confident in the power and in the name of the Lord.
How old was he?
He took his stand.
I'm thinking about his size.
Yeah.
Okay? David was about your size. Goliath was about 9 to 10 feet tall. That's what they're guessing.
Yeah.
How tall is this wall?
About
12. Not quite, but...
Almost.
Okay, I want you to stand up. Come here. Stand up. And if Goliath was above the fan, around the fan,
yeah,
somewhere around there.
Big.
Okay, that's who David stood up against. The guy that tall, big, he had armor on. Did David have armor on? No, because the armor was fit for King Saul. He offered it, but David said, no, it's okay.
It wouldn't fit him.
It would have weighed him down. So what did David take? He took guns, right?
Yeah.
No. No, you're not going anywhere. No, David didn't have guns. They didn't have those yet. Not in Bible times. He had a slingshot. He was really good. Did you know David killed bears and lions? Okay?
With a slingshot.
Okay? Use it down now. I'll quit picking on you. But no, you see, but the point is that when David, your first reaction, when you realized how big Goliath was like, whoa. David didn't do that. He stood his ground. And do you know why he stood his ground? Because Goliath mocked God. Goliath revealed himself and said, you're God. You know, he's nothing. I'm Goliath. Okay, he mocked God. David knew the word. They said, you don't mock my God. I'm going to win. And guess what? He did. That rock went straight to Goliath's head, knocked him out. And the PG version is that he took the sword and cut off his head. We're okay. But it's what happened. It's what happened. David won because of God in him. He took his stand.
He knew the authority he had in God. He took the stand in the name of the Lord.
Yeah. So what is the spiritual armor, Mr. Rick?
It says, stand firm then. I think we ought to get a... I've seen something in the treasure chest. Should we get a volunteer?
Oh, what do you think? I was
yeah.
not... You're about the right
Would you
size.
Like to help us out?
You can
stand
right
here in the middle. Well, it says here... Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. I think we have a belt of truth in here, don't we, Michelle?
We do.
Yeah.
You wanna?
Yeah, here we go.
We don't have enough hands.
No, I don't see that.
I'll hold this.
All right, so let's put this, your hands out of your pocket.
Now, what is it? It's a belt of what?
Truth.
Belt of truth.
Who is the truth? Somebody says in the Bible, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Who said that?
Who said that? Grown up kids, you can help.
God.
Jesus. Jesus said it. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And it says we're to have the belt of truth girded and buckled around us. I like to think that's Jesus. We have him. And is the belt just in the front? Is the belt just in the front?
No, it goes
all the way around you, doesn't it?
He's surrounded by the belt of truth.
Jesus also said, well, in John, he was talking about Jesus. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? That's going to be important in a little bit from now. Because
so it's important that we
have ourselves surrounded.
Surround ourselves with Jesus, okay? That means making sure that, you know, we pray, we come to Sunday school and church, listen to our mom and dad, we read the Bible every day,
do
what the Bible says, not just read it.
Yeah, and also, like, surround yourself with people that love Jesus, or they want to know more about Jesus.
That's why it's important to come to church and Sunday school, because this is where all the people are that love Jesus with all their heart. Okay.
I mean,
it's okay, like at school, you know, you're around friends who don't know Jesus yet, right? Okay, and sometimes it could be easy to get influenced by them.
Because
you're surrounded by those. And, you know, we have to be in the world, but we shouldn't be of the world. We don't act like the world when we have, but
Mr. Rick,
yes,
you make friends, maybe in your neighborhood or whatever, invite them so that they can know about Jesus. Have them surrounded by the Word of God. Okay? So, I'm commissioning you guys to do that.
That's why it's important to be a part of a community, to be part of the body of Jesus.
Yeah. So I think he's ready for battle, right?
Hmm.
No? Do you think there's more to the armor?
Yeah?
Well, let's see. What's it?
Oh.
He has to have the breastplate of righteousness.
That's the next one.
Yeah.
Woohoo! I'm glad you didn't go out of line.
All right.
Yeah. No, that's not right. That's not right.
What?
No.
Oh.
No, what? It goes up here.
Oh, yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
Oh, no, it goes down here.
No, it doesn't.
Your Texas shins. No.
Where does it go?
Where does it go? Right there.
What does that protect?
His chest.
His chest.
What's inside his chest?
What's inside the chest?
Sorry, dear buddy.
Heart.
Your heart. What does the heart symbolize a lot of times of what we love? I think when we give Yeshua, we call him Yeshua a lot. That's his Hebrew name, Jesus. Sorry about that. We say Yeshua, Jesus, a lot. When we let him be our king, he's in our heart, right? He's who we love. And so we want to protect our heart. And we want to protect the things we love. We don't want other things to come in.
Is he too big?
No, I can't get the strap through the bucket.
His fingers are too big.
Yeah, that's what it is. The big elephant fingers.
There we go.
No, I can't. There we go.
All
right.
It might not ever come off again.
Yeah. You might be stuck in there for the rest of the day. All right.
So now we have the breastplate of righteousness. You know, our first verse today was, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we're to seek that. We are to have his righteousness.
Seek that first, before anything.
Okay. Oh, the next one, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. Are your feet ready?
Well, you know what? He has sneakers on. I think he looks like he's ready to run the race.
I think so. I think your feet are ready. You know?
To share Jesus with everyone you know.
You have to make sure you're ready because, I mean, like, if you're going out to play in the snow, you got to get dressed to go out. So you put on your sandals and your bathing suit to go out and play in the snow, right? No! No! You put on your flip-flops.
No!
Snowsuit and boots. And that's what God, he wants us to be ready. He wants us to have our shoes on.
Ready
you know?
To share Jesus, right?
And to share the gospel, the good news.
The news of Jesus.
In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith. I love this one because do you know what you do with this one? It says you extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. the devil. You know, he has schemes, remember? Some of them are fiery darts.
Nasty little tricks.
And so it's not only just, no, it's like, and then you put them.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you mention Miss Cheryl about sometimes we get picked on. People call us names sometimes. When I was in school, people used to call me names. It used to really hurt. And I used to let it affect me because I didn't know who I was in Jesus. Okay, I would listen to what I wasn't taught. I heard what other boys and girls said about me. I heard what they called it, the names they called me, and I started to believe it after a while because I didn't know who I was. But you know what? We don't have to believe those lies, those nasty words, nasty names that people might call us at school. Those are fiery darts from Satan, from the enemy. He's trying to shoot them into you to try to discourage you, to try to drag you down, make you feel, you know, give you low self-esteem.
But that's not who God says
you are. But who does God say you are? We have. That's why we have to read our Bible.
And that's why we're here.
He says that he calls you friend. The Bible says that he knows you by name. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. Because you are loved. You are saved. You're an heir of the kingdom of God. Okay? You're redeemed. You're saved.
And when you brush your hair and some of the hairs come in your brush or your comb, he knows that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how much he knows us. I know. Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not scary. It's wonderful. He knows us. He knew you before you were born.
So don't believe the lies of the enemy or God. The enemy will use other people sometimes.
He made you exactly how he wanted you to be.
Yep.
You are exactly what God has designed, all of you. And he has a plan. He has a plan.
Yeah, you keep peeking in there, don't you?
Okay. All right. Is there any more? But he has a plan. Anyway, sorry, got sidetracked there. Let's see. Yeah, I think that looks pretty good. Right,
I'm seeing a couple more things in the church.
No, I don't think so. Sure. I think he's good to go to battle.
He said he's fine.
He's fine. Are you thinking you have all the armor on? No. What else do you need?
Helmet.
Oh, you're right. Keep reading. Take the helmet of salvation.
You're welcome.
What's that protect? His brain and how you
think.
You know, in the Bible it tells us that when we ask King Jesus to be our King and Lord, there's a renewing of our minds. He renews us. So maybe we used to think one thing. Once we have Jesus as our King, we think another way. We think the kingdom, don't we? And this protects how we think. And it also protects your mind.
Mm-hmm. I like this helmet because it has this. What does that protect? It protects his eyes. We have to be, I know, we have to be careful what we look at in this world and what we listen to, okay? Because, you know, the eyes are like the gateway to our heart and our mind, okay? What we sometimes we see things we can't unsee, okay? And it's hard to unsee. So we have to guard our hearts and guard our minds and be very, very careful.
But God helps us. If we happen to see something, if we happen to have some thought or anything like that, God is bigger than the devil's
schemes. That's
right,
because the word tells us take every thought captive. That means if a thought, devil tries to put a thought in your mind, say, King Jesus, I give that thought to you. I ask that you be the Lord over that.
Put it in jail. Put it in jail.
Put it in the dungeon, in the castle.
One more thing, Mr. Rick.
Yes.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
You know, hold on to that.
So what is that? What does that represent? The Word of God. The Word of God is our weapon. Okay? See, the thing is remember we said the belt was Jesus, right? Surrounding ourselves in the truth. He's the Word. I was jumping the gun when I said that scripture earlier. About in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. The Word is the sword of the Spirit, which goes in the truth, the belt of truth. I think that's kind of cool. But We have all that we need. Look at him. You're ready now. You know, look at this picture. You're not the only one that's ever asked us that. This is actually one piece. In this picture. So when your feet are ready, it's protecting your shins too. I mean, you're ready, so you can't get kicked. So, I think you're ready. Oh, you know what? I shut this.
But you know what, Miss Cheryl? I was like, can you turn around and just turn around once?
Oh.
Is there any armor here?
No.
No, because you know what? Who has his back? God. God always has our back. Okay. We don't turn our back on God, and we don't run away from the enemy, okay? We face the enemy.
We face our Goliaths.
We face our Goliaths, and we fight those battles, and God will give us the strength to do it, because he's got our back. God's always
Sometimes
with us.
Sometimes we're not the ones fighting. We may be praying. It says to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, praying for each other. That's the next part. Praying. And he wants us to pray. Sometimes, after we've done everything, we stand. Because the battle is the Lord's. That's what the scriptures tell us. Sometimes after we prayed, we've put on our armor, we've done all we're supposed to do that God's told us to do, then we stand and we watch God at work. Okay?
Watch God do it.
So thank you, sir. You may take off the physical armor, but don't take off your spiritual armor, okay? Thank you. Yeah. Well, right now, God wants us to put on not the plastic stuff like what we have, but he wants us to put on all those pieces. So I want us all to do the belt of truth. Just go around. Lord, I put on the belt of truth. You can say it. Lord, I put on the belt of truth. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I put on the helmet of salvation. I take up the sword or the shield of faith. I have my feet ready to go share the good news of Jesus. And I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And God's got my back. Amen. And so, you know, every day, don't you get dressed? Yeah? So every day, remember to put on the armor. Put on the armor. Just renew it every day. So, you want to see?
Yep.
Big. Hey, BJ.
Hey, Aunt Cheryl.
Hello.
Give me just a minute. I got to do my hair.
Okay.
Got a hair out of place.
Oh my goodness.
That's Bob Free.
Here we go. Hi everybody. Praise the Lord.
Hey BJ.
Has he done my hair look better now?
Oh, it looks beautiful. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, BJ, you know, you heard us talking about the full armor of God.
Yes.
And so that we
6:10,
can yeah.
put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's tricks.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
And you know what? There was something else in this that I wanted to show you.
Yeah, what is it, Aunt?
First one is this picture. This is God having our back. Isn't that cool? When we have our spiritual armor on.
The glory of the Lord behind us.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Praise the Lord.
But you know, God showed me this while I was getting ready for you guys. I'm going to show him this.
Oh. You guys will love this.
Can anybody figure out what I'm trying to say that in this picture? I need to come closer. What do you think that is? It says game over. Chess game.
And the devil ain't happy, is he?
No, that was mad and sweating there.
He lost.
The mighty hand of God defeated him.
Amen.
There we go. Yep. God gave me that picture.
Checkmate.
I love clip art. But you know what? It's checkmate, knocking the main chess piece over, God.
Ooh-wee.
Battle with God.
Praise the Lord.
And God saying game over.
Yep.
Game over. Because when we take our stand, it's game over.
Amen.
He lost. He loses every time. So I just thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I love that picture, Andrew.
So when we put on the full armor of God and we take our stand, it's game over for the devil.
Amen.
See if I can go there.
Okay.
So, BJ, I am so excited.
Me too. Praise
about what
Lord.
God is doing and putting on our armor. Oh,
and God has our back.
He does.
And wait, Andrew, that makes me want to just praise the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Can we all praise the Lord together? Yeah, at the count of three, here we go. One,
two, three.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Oh, boy. It's so good to praise the Lord.
It is. You know, now, I do have a couple other weapons. Things that we can have, like when we're doing things. Would you like to see it?
Yeah. You know, God, He always keeps us equipped, doesn't He?
He does.
Gives us the armor so we can take our stand. Gives us His word. Wow, He's so good.
TNT. Man, they know their stuff here.
Yeah, it looks like dynamite.
Yeah, dynamite.
Woo-wee. Kaboom.
I like blowing up the devil's plans myself.
Yeah.
You know, when I take my stand. Do you want to know how to blow up the devil's plans? Would you like to, when he has tricks and schemes, you know, we can go and we can blow him up every time.
Yes.
You ready? Let's see, which one will we start with? How about this one? Can you read it? The letters go down.
Prayer.
Prayer.
When we pray, I mean, right after that scripture, it was saying pray, right? That blows up. But there's another part.
There's power in prayer, Aunt Cheryl.
But there's power in this one too. What does that say? Praise.
Yep, amen.
You put these two together. You start praising God, even in the midst of a trial. Even in the midst,
amen.
You praise Him for that. You praise Him when you stub your toe.
It's like in
and
the,
it hurts.
In the Bible, it says that. In everything give thanks, for
yes.
This is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus.
Amen. You praise Him. You praise Him.
Pray without ceasing.
All
we
the
talk
time.
To the Lord. We pray all day long and every day.
Rejoice in the Lord
and
always.
And we keep praising the Lord even in our trials and
Amen.
Tribulations.
Amen.
Because the devil hates it.
Oh, wait a minute.
It says, submit yourselves therefore to God.
Resist
the devil and he will flee from you. He'll run away.
He will.
We start submitting to God.
Hey,
just keep our mind praising Him.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. What?
This isn't going to do. It's not lit. It's got to have.
Oh, yeah, you got to have fire.
You got to have a spark. You got to have something to make it blow up. I mean, what would make The spark. What do we need?
A lighter.
A lighter. And okay, we need a spiritual lighter. Do you know what the spiritual lighter would be?
Holy Spirit.
Oh, the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're getting closer. But we need something. We need something to light it. What would that be? When we are praying and praising and believing.
We are trusting.
Believing, trusting, having
faith. Yeah.
We need faith. Okay? I know people that pray, and when they say, oh, dear God, yeah, be with so-and-so. They're in the hospital. Comfort them. If it's your will, you know, go ahead, you know. And then as soon as they say amen, they turn around. They're not going to get any better.
Yeah, boy, it's really bad for them. That's really bad news.
I mean, was that a sincere prayer?
No.
I mean, I prayed for them.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the prayer God would want us to pray.
No.
I don't think that one was a King Jesus prayer.
No.
Because King Jesus wants us, Lord God, I pray for so-and-so. She's sick in the hospital. You go in there and you help her get better, help her body to heal. Give the doctors wisdom.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And then you're like, praise God. I can't wait to hear the good report.
Ooh, praise the Lord.
And then you start praising God. Lord, I praise you that you can heal people.
Thank you that. Thank you for their healing, Lord. Thank
you
that you're going to do it. And you've already done it.
And that makes the devil mad. said.
Woo, he hates that.
He hates it. So I don't care.
Yep, that blows up his plan, doesn't it?
I like doing what God likes.
Yep.
So we are going to, right now, in our hearts, believing. Here again, we're going to do prayer. We did it already today, but we're going to do it again. And I want you guys to think of something that's a prayer and a praise, that, you know, whatever, and that you're trusting for. And we're going to praise the Lord together, okay?
Amen.
And we're going to put faith to it that it's going to happen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
And it is going to happen.
And we're blowing up the plans. You ready? You want to blow them up?
Yeah.
Okay, one does.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I don't know if you just stare at me.
Yeehaw!
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Woo-wee.
There we go. You want to say something?
No.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Praise the Lord!
Woo-wee! Thank you, Jesus.
Ow.
Kaboom!
Kaboom!
We just blew up the devil's plans.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. BJ, this reminds me.
Yeah?
Back on the table, I think I have enough, at least one per family, but it's some of our print-offs that we do, and it's about the dynamite. It's back there. I'll show it to you. I can give you guys some, but it's a sample of what you guys can get and help people. If you know a family that maybe doesn't live close to here, point them to our website. It's wooey.org. It's all free. It's all free. We want the kingdom to go out. If you're saying, we want you guys to keep going on the journey with the King. And we can't be with you every day, but Jesus is with you every day.
Amen.
But if you want a Bible lesson.
And pretty soon there's going to be a radio station, too.
Yes.
Uncle Rick's working on that.
We would like you guys to pray with us.
Yeah, then we can have the word of the Lord in your home all day long.
We're hoping to start a radio station on the internet, a web station. And it'll eventually be...
Woo-wee praise radio.
Woo-wee. It'll be the United States.
There's going to be story time, and we're going to have radio dramas.
Yeah.
And praise reports. There's not going to be regular news, is there, Ian?
No bad news.
The only news is going to be good news.
Yes.
It's going to be reports of good things happening in God's kingdom.
It's safe for families.
Yep.
That's our goal. But we need to pray in the sponsorship that we have enough for the monthly rates, but we're buying music. We're getting it all ready.
Yeah.
We're excited about it. And eventually it will be all of the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom. It covers, those licensing will cover that. So we can reach kids and grown-up kids in all those countries.
Amen.
So we would appreciate, there's more back there about that. So BJ, I love you.
I love you too, Leandro. And I love all you boys and girls. And I love all you grown-up kids too.
Yes.
Yeah, because you're just little kids caught up in great big bodies.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, BJ,
let's
praise the Lord
one more time. Let's praise the Lord. One, two, three. Praise the Lord!
Woo-wee!
All right, everybody, I love you. God bless you.
God bless you, BJ.
I hope to come back again sometime and see you all.
Yeah.
And see how you're growing in Jesus.
Amen.
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 God bless you. Bon voyage. Buongiorno. See you later, alligators. After a while, crocodile. Hasta lasagna. Don't get any on you. Toodles.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know if Mr. Rick has another song or if we're good to go. We'll see. He's occupied. He does. He gives BJ a hand.
Yeah, he needs a hand once in a while.
Yeah.
He is a hand.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Do we have another song, or are we? Would you like to sing one more fun song before we go have ice cream?
Oh, I have one.
Okay.
Oh,
yes. Oh, this one is about It's Psalm 150, about everything that has breath. Here we go. It comes right around, doesn't it? God's good. God's good. So I think you guys can just follow us. It's pretty self-explanatory, so.
No, it's not complicated at all.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, from the rising up.
So, Father God, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you today. And, Lord, we do give you praise, and we worship you, and we honor you, and we give you our lives today. And we just ask, King Jesus, that you come into our hearts and into our lives. Take the throne of our hearts. We crown you the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are our King, and we will serve you faithfully, and we will live for you, King Jesus. We praise your name. Pour out your Holy Spirit now, Lord, upon everyone in this place, God. Just rule and reign in us and through us. And as we leave this sanctuary today, God, we go out those doors, Lord. We take your word with us and help us, strengthen us through the power of your Holy Spirit to preach the gospel, to tell others about you. And Lord, we just praise you. We give you all the glory and the honor. And we bless your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Boys and girls, what do we say to them?
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can we give Cheryl and Rick a big woo-wee?
Praise you, Lord. You know, something that's just coming to me is you grown-up kids, be faithful with who is here. Doesn't matter if you're a mega church or a country church. You take care of the flock that God sends. You pray for this flock. You nurture this flock. You tend this flock. I mean, I'm doing a garden right now. Something is eating my bean sprouts, my little beans. I'm like, what? Our pumpkins. We planted pumpkins. Something came along. So it's planting more. And it's just like, it's diligence. It's like, okay, they got it. No, I think you should have a prayer team. Just a suggestion. But create a prayer team that, and take turns. Like, this is your week that you pray for the children, all the way up to 18 years old. Pray for them. Bless them. Be there for them. God will tell you things for them, you know. But I just seal in you guys. God has a plan for each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. And it's fun. It's fun. And he wants to do mighty things in you. Stay in the Word of God. Read your Bible stories. Listen to Bible stories. Think about, how does that make me? What's that for me? Like David and Goliath. It's not just a story. It's true. It's true. It happened. The Bible isn't makeup, make believe. It's not. It's real. Okay, guys? So Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay.